Sarva Shastra Dipiyusha Sarva Vidaika Satpala Sarva Siddhartha Ratnadya Sarva Lokaika Dritpada Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu Kalidwant Uditaritya Shri Krishna Parivartita Paramananda Partaya Prema Varshakshadayati Sarvada Sarva Sevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostume Madeka Bandhu Matsangin Madguru Madmahadana Manistaraka Madbhagya Madananda Namostute Asadu sadu tadayin ati nicho chatakada ama muncha kadachin mam premnarit kantayokspura Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Okay, is this chapter 19 text, maybe 31, is it? 32, okay. 33.
I'll do 33. Sutovacha iti kaushari vakyatam Ashutya bhagavat katam Shatanandam param lebe Mahabhagavato Dvija Suta Uvacha Iti Kaushada Vakyatam Ashrutya Bhagavat Katam Shat Anandam Param Lebe Mahabhagavato Dvija Sutaha Suta Goswami Uvacha said Iti Thus, Kaushadava, from Maitreya, son of Kushara, Akhyatam, told Ashrutya, having heard Bhagavat Katam, the narration about the Lord, Kshata Vidura, Anandam, Bliss, Param, Transcendental, Lebe, Achieved, Mahabhagavata, the great devotee, Dvija, O Brahmana, Shonaka. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Suta Goswami continued, My dear Brahmana, Kshata Vidura, the great devotee of the Lord, achieved transcendental bliss by hearing the narration of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the authoritative source of the sage Kaushadava Maitreya. And he was very pleased. Purport. If anyone wants to derive transcendental pleasure by hearing the pastimes of the Lord. He must hear from the authoritative source, as explained here. Maitreya heard the narration from his bona fide spiritual master, and Vidura also heard from Maitreya. One becomes an authority simply by presenting whatever he has heard from his spiritual master. And one who does not accept a bona fide spiritual master cannot be an authority. This is clearly explained here. If anyone wants to have transcendental pleasure, he must find a person with authority. It is also stated in the Bhagavatam that simply by hearing from an authoritative source with the ear and the heart, one can relish the pastimes of the Lord. With the otherwise, it is not possible. Sanatan Goswami, therefore, has especially warned that one should not hear anything about the personality of the Lord from the lips of a non-devotee. Non-devotees are considered to be like serpents, as milk is poisoned by a serpent's touch. So, although the narration of the pastimes of the Lord is as pure as milk, when administered by serpent-like non-devotees, it becomes poisonous. Not only does it have no effect in transcendental pleasure, but it is dangerous also. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has warned that no description of the pastimes of the Lord should be heard from the Mayavadis or impersonalists. He has clearly said, Mayavadi Bhashya Shunile Hoi Sarvonash. If anyone hears the Mayavadi's interpretation of the pastimes of the Lord, or their interpretation of the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, or any other Vedic literature, then he is doomed. Once one is associated with impersonalists, he can never understand the personal feature of the Lord and his transcendental pastimes. Suta Goswami was speaking to the sages headed by Shonaka, and therefore he addressed them in this verse as Dwija, twice born. The sages assembled in Naimasharanya, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Suta Goswami, were all Brahmanas. But to acquire the qualifications of a Brahmana is not everything. Merely to be twice born is not perfection. Perfection is attained when one hears the pastimes and activities of the Lord from a bona fide source. So, Shanta, even though his birth was degraded, he's Antyaja. That means worse than the Shudra. There are four classes. Shudra is the lowest. And those who are worse than Shudra are called Antyaja. So he's a Suta. Father is a Kshatriya. Mother is a... Actually, in his case, no. Kshatriya? His mother is a... Anyway, Shudrani. His mother is a Shudrani, a maidservant. Father is a great Brahmin. Anyway, that's a low birth. But he's tasting great bliss. Not just material enjoyment, but transcendental bliss. This is something much greater than the happiness you can get from hearing some mundane poetry, or even from all the varieties of sense gratification that are available in the material world. The ananda that Vidura received on hearing narration of the Bhagavatam from Maitreya is something on a totally different level than any kind of material happiness. But he's son of a Shudra. Shudras, their nature is to lament. to be unhappy, to have so many problems in this world. They can't enjoy pleasure. In general, although pleasure is available by associating with the Supreme Lord, and that association does not have to be face-to-face, you do not have to directly participate in Krishna's pastimes. If you can, then certainly you'll experience the greatest pleasure. But now, most of us don't have the privilege to directly participate in Krishna's pastimes. But even if we can simply listen to narrations, descriptions of Krishna and his pastimes, we will experience the same bliss as if we were in those pastimes. Param anandam lebe. He experienced the highest happiness, not just some cheap imitation, not just some reflection of the real thing. He tasted the real transcendental nectar just by hearing. Just by hearing, not directly from Krishna even, not even directly from Uddhava, who he first approached, but from Maitreya. It doesn't matter. Maitreya is bona fide authority. He is empowered by Krishna. Krishna himself gave him the power to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So being empowered, he has the power. Bona fide authority. We have to hear from a bona fide authority. Otherwise, hearing about Krishna's pastimes from a non-devotee, Prabhupada says, is not only useless, but even dangerous. It can destroy our spiritual life. The impersonalists hate Krishna. The Mayavadis hate Krishna. And what they say about Krishna is actually offensive. And if we imbibe the so-called nectar from the mouths of these serpents, these Mayavadis, then we're drinking poison. It will destroy our actual attraction to Krishna. We'll assimilate the attitude of the Mayavadis, the impersonal attitude that Krishna is just another version of illusion. He's the best illusion, but he's Maya also. So we shouldn't hear. We should hear only from the bona fide source. What does it mean, bona fide source? What does it mean to be authoritative? The police officer in charge of the Tana, he has authority, but is that the authority we're talking about? Or the professor in the Department of Sanskrit in the university, he has authority. He's an authority on the subject. Should we hear from him? What do we mean by authority? Prabhupada clarifies that by using the term bona fide. So what is bona fide? It's a Latin term. What it actually means is in good faith. Not that he has a PhD, not that he's been elected to office, but that he has faith, good faith. He's acting in good faith. He's honest. He's not a fraud. Then he's authoritative. He's faithfully representing the parampara. His spiritual master and the predecessors in the disciplic succession. He's simply the faithful representative, speaking only what they spoke. That is bona fide. That is how one becomes authoritative, as Prabhupada describes in the purport. You hear from your guru, and then you hear faithfully, and you follow his instructions. Then you can also be empowered to speak. Then you also become authorized. It's further explained by Srila Rupa Goswami when he describes the importance of this process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. He specifies who to hear from. Srimad Bhagavata Artanam Aswado Rasikaiksa. We should hear Srimad Bhagavatam, he says specifically, aswada, relishing, tasting, not just reading the words, trying to memorize because there's going to be a test at the end of the month, you know, writing notes, not just assimilating facts. Bhagavatam is rasa, pibata bhagavata rasam. We should drink this like nectar. If someone gives you A nice glass of lassi is not to study, it is to drink. You know, not to analyze. You can give it to the chemist to analyze what's in this. You know, and then you can discover what exactly is inside the lassi. Oh, there is sugar. There is dahi. You know, there's rose water. Great. But if you really want to find out, you have to drink it. Not just submit it to a laboratory for a chemical test. The real... Palena parichiyate. You taste it. Then you see. Prachak javagamam dharmyam. By tasting it yourself, you know. So aswado. Bhavatam is meant to be drunk and relished. To be enjoyed. It's meant to give us pleasure because we're suffering in this world. This is the remedy for our suffering, is to get this pleasure. We won't get pleasure by defeating all our enemies or getting elected to office or making a crore of rupees. That won't give us happiness. But hearing the pastimes of Krishna will give us happiness, and that will eradicate all our misery. And even the Shudras can become Brahmanas and better just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. By aswada, by relishing. Rasikaiksaha, in the company of Rasika devotees. It doesn't mean we should all run to Radhakund and find somebody dressed in a sari, you know, some man dressed in a sari. In the name, you know, he must be a Rasika. Who's a Rasika? Someone who actually has a taste for Srimad Bhagavatam. This is equivalent to the statement we should find an authoritative source. The authoritative sources are Rasikas. And the only real Rasikas are the ones who are properly connected in the Sampradaya, in the bona fide Sampradaya. Those who are not, cannot honestly claim to be Rasikas. So, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj, whenever he met someone who claimed to be a devotee of Krishna, Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj would ask him, under whose direction are you practicing Krishna consciousness? And if they couldn't give a good answer, you know, what sampradaya they're connected with and who their guru is and how they're following, then he refused to take them seriously. If they're just directly connected with Krishna or they're making up their own idea. The first question when anyone claims to be a Vaishnava is, under whose guidance are you practicing Krishna consciousness? If you're trying to approach Krishna on your own, then you're not bona fide. And you cannot claim to be a Rasika. You cannot even claim to be a disciple, but to speak of a guru. So, Rasikas are the ones who get pleasure, who are experiencing so much pleasure from the Bhagavatam that they have no interest in anything material. Sarva Vedanta Sadam Hi Shri Bhagavatam Ishyate Tadra Samritra Triptasya Nanyatra Syat Kwati. Bhati, Kwachit, Rati, Ruchi, same thing. Taste, attachment, attraction. Because Srimad Bhagavatam contains the essence of all Vedanta philosophy, and because it's full of rasa also, one who has tasted Tadra Samrita Tripta, so Bhagavatam is not just a textbook on Vedanta philosophy, meant for professional philosophers, dry scholars. It is full of rasamrita, the nectar of Krishna and his lila and his devotees. His lilamrita, his bhaktamrita, his rupamrita, and so on. It is full of all that, all those varieties of nectar. One who is getting satisfaction from tasting that nectar, how can he ever have any attraction anymore to anything material? So who are these people that we see on the billboards advertised as, you know, the direct representative of Vyasadev, are coming to speak Bhagavat Saptaha? These professional Bhagavatam reciters who recite Bhagavatam as a business. What is their position? They're cheaters. What? If they have actually tasted the rasa of Bhagavatam, why are they after money in the name of Bhagavatam? Why are they making a business out of it? Okay, they're brahmanas. They're born in a family of Bhagavat reciters. They learned the trade from their father. But it's just a business. And it's condemned as an aparad to do such business on the name of Srimad Bhagavatam. We should not hear from them. We should not participate in Bhagavad Saptaha. Bhagavad Saptaha was originally performed by Shukadeva Goswami. If the speaker is qualified like Shukadeva Goswami and detached from everything material because of tasting the nectar of the Bhagavatam, then let him speak for 7 days and everyone should come and listen. But an ordinary materialist, just because he knows some bhajans and can say some katha, and he's got some charisma, is not at all qualified to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. Maitreya is not in that category. Although you may think he's a gyani, he's only a gyani on the outside. Okay, he has a big white beard, an old man. He studied all these Upanishads and everything for so many years. You know, he didn't seem to be a devotee. But you can't tell from the outside. He was there when Krishna spent his last hours on this planet. He was sitting next to Uddhava, and Krishna gave him his full mercy. So whoever gets the mercy of Krishna, he's authorized. No matter what he was before, no matter what he seems to be on the outside, no matter what his material designations are. If you get Krishna's blessings, if you get the blessings of Krishna's representative, then you are empowered, you are authorized. The devotees who are serving as gurus in ISKCON, you may find from some fault, but you must recognize that they are empowered. Prabhupada has recognized them in that position. Through the Prabhupada's representative, the GBC, these devotees have been recognized as bona fide gurus. They're empowered. No matter what they are and what they seem to be on the outside, whatever apparent fault you may see, they have Krishna's and Prabhupada's blessings. And you must, you may have, if he's your godbrother, you may have disagreement. Godbrothers have disagreements among one another. But we should always respect one another. Even not just guru, just any devotee who is an actual participating member of ISKCON. Even not initiated. But we should recognize all the Vaishnavas as empowered with the blessings of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. I must have respect. I may have disagreement on practical matters. I may not have always the same opinion with my godbrothers. But I must respect that they are empowered Vaishnavas. Just to be able to be practicing this sadhana bhakti in the line of Rupa Goswami, one must be empowered. To be able to pick up the japa mala and chant 16 rounds, one must be a great empowered soul. Even if he's too spaced out to do anything else but chant his rounds, still he's empowered. At least he's empowered to chant his rounds. And that's a great accomplishment. So we have to always have respect for the Vaishnavas. Dikshasti yet praniti bhischa bhajantam isham. Even someone who's not following any sadhana, but he's chanted Krishna's names even sometime in the past, or some devotee used to follow the regulative principles and now he's fallen down, still I should continue to offer respect in my mind. The fallen devotee may be dangerous to associate with, but in my, at least from a distance in my mind, I should continue to offer him respects. And dikshasti yet pranati bhischa bhajantam isham. And if he's actually following the instructions of his spiritual master, he's accepted the diksha, or preparing to accept the diksha, and he's worshipping Krishna, following the instructions of his spiritual master, I have to consider him Prabhu. I should bow down to him. But that's not just, should not just be an external show. If I call someone Prabhu, but have contempt for him, that is abusive. That's misuse of the language to call him Prabhu when I don't have respect. Prabhu means master. And to make a show of bowing down just to manipulate someone when I don't actually have respect, that's hypocritical. So I have to have the attitude of respect. and then bow down and call him Prabhu. That is how we should behave with any devotee who is properly following the process. It's a great burden to have to show so much respect to so many people. It's easier to just be contemptuous of everybody, to be a misanthrope. But to actually cultivate this culture, to practice this culture of respect, this is very difficult but also very important. It's what makes us civilized. And what makes us dear to Krishna is that we're not contemptuous, we're not proud, we're not envious. We have respect for the Vaishnavas, then Krishna will take us seriously. So Maitreya, although he may have been an impersonalist, somewhat a gyani in his earlier career, now he is empowered by Krishna and by Uddhava. And he's engaged in the service of the devotees, speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to have all respect for him and all gratitude. Certainly Vidura does. And he's, because of his proper attitude, he's able to enjoy the highest pleasure from hearing from this bona fide source, the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is a good part of our whole process. Srimad Bhagavata Artanam Aswado Rasikaiksaha. Hearing this nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam and enjoying it in the company of authorized devotees. Then all the misery and all the confusion and frustration that we've been experiencing for so many lifetimes, that will be dissolved and will be replaced with the nectar of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. It's okay, I'll stop here. Anybody have any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Okay. Nope. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.